Today, we have an incredible privilege of having with us one of our people who attend and serve here at New Life Church, Rob Allen, coming to share God's word with us. Now, Rob shares it in a very unique way, and so don't be surprised when he breaks things, okay? It's all okay. We had a great privilege of having Jim Still share with us last week here at New Life Church and shared a very passionate message that touched all our hearts. And, of course, we have Ryan Chapman, who helps us with student ministries here, but a coach at the high school, teacher, and they've all had an opportunity to share during this back-to-school season. Now, I know you're not hearing anything I said, but I'm sort of a great space filler while all this happens behind me. But anyway, it's keeping you awake. That's what I'm all about today. But anyway, it is so great to have Rob and to share and to hear his message that God has placed on his heart for us today. So would you give Rob a warm welcome to New Life Church platform?
Thank you. Good morning. Come back here a little bit. Like Pastor John mentioned, my name is Rob Allen. I teach fourth grade at York Fuller Intermediate School just down the road. It's my 24th year teaching fourth grade. Thank you. Third grade and also first grade. Around here, I co-lead a small group with Pastor Brendan. I come on Wednesday nights and teach the first through third grade kids. We have a new session coming up actually in about a month, a couple weeks. If you'd like to send your kids on Wednesday nights, we'd love to have them here. And then I also help with the summertime kids mission trips too. So thanks for being here today. Will you bow your heads in prayer? God, thanks for this day. Thanks for the opportunity to come into your house. Thanks that you are here to meet with us. Please speak through the words today, Lord, and just help us to hear your heart. Help us to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, how many people enjoy spending time outside? Okay. Can I get you to close your eyes for just a second and visualize your favorite nature scene, the most beautiful outdoor view you've ever experienced? All right, got it? Go ahead and open your eyes. So maybe it looked like this. Love to see the sunset. End of the day, sunrise, first thing in the morning, just the beautiful colors painted across the sky. Maybe visualize something like this. Mountains, tall, majestic, strong, beautiful to see from a distance, or maybe you're hardcore and close up. Maybe it was something like this. Waterfall, just ocean in the distance, some kind of beach, some kind of cliffs. We live in an amazing natural world. And every time we see any of these scenes, we just can see, we can know, it's pretty evident that God created those. God made those. We have a creative God. We have a mighty God who has power to create and invent things that we couldn't even really imagine. I personally have no artistic skills at all. I can draw stick people pretty well, and that's really about it. But even if I was a great artist, I would need stuff to create. I would need canvas and paints. I'd need paper and pens and pastels and crayons, but clay. I would need something. But God didn't. God created all that we can see out of nothing. And most artists have some kind of a reference. They draw what they see. They sculpt. They look up pictures online and get some reference books. But God had none of that. It all came out of his imagination. So we have a creative God, a God with just awesome imagination, a powerful God. God's a skillful creator. God's a generous creator. He created everything for his pleasure, but also for ours. I'm going to reference the Bible a lot of times this morning. If you have your Bible with you, you can feel free to take it out and look up the words with us. Otherwise, they'll be on the screen. We're going to start in Psalm 19 this morning. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. The Bible clearly teaches that we can see the hand of God in his creation. We can see God's majesty and power every time we go outside, every time we take a hike, every time we're on vacation, chilling at the beach or hiking along the mountains. God's power, his grace, his love is evident through creation. Now, what we sometimes don't pick up on as much is just like all those beautiful natural scenes, we can do the same thing by looking at each other. God created you. God created me with that same skill, with that same imagination, with that same power that he created sunsets and beaches and mountains. That same little piece of God's imagination and God's heart that's in our natural world is in us too. Look at the diversity of people in this room and on the screen. Come in all different colors, all different sizes and shapes. We have different passions and talents and gifts. And that all came from the imagination of God, from the hand of God. I'm going to jump into Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. He created me. He created you. He chose to create us. Psalm 139:13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God didn't push a button on assembly line to make us. He personally knit us together. He made us with his own hands. He chose exactly the way he wanted to make you. Your size, your shape, your skin color, your talents, your passion. He made you on purpose. He made you for a reason. He made you for a purpose. Now, we all have these kind of general purposes we share, you know, to lift high the name of God, to honor him and praise him through what we do and what we say every day, to be an example of others and kind of draw them to God, to bring love and beauty into this world, to show grace to others and forgiveness. But besides those kind of general purposes, God made you for a specific purpose. He made you just the way you are for a reason. So God knows exactly who you are. He loves you. You bring a smile to his face. In that same way that I can't help but smile when I think of my daughters, when I see them, just the joy they bring in my life, just how proud I am of them, God feels that way about you every day. And because God created us, God knows exactly how our life should work best. I mean, who knows the painting better than the artist who painted it? Who knows the sculpture better than the sculptor who created it? Who knows how to fix my car better than the people who manufactured it? God made you, and he knows you, and he knows how your life works best. I'm going to go to Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. God invites us to build our life on Him, to make Him the foundation. Life works best when we follow God, when we pray, when we seek Him, when we read the Bible, when we get His word into our life and build on Him. These represent a foundation of our life based on God. A life built on God. A wise man or woman or child building our life on that foundation of God. That solid foundation. That foundation built on the Creator who made us, who knows us. And it's solid. Not going anywhere. We have the opportunity to build our foundation on God. Now, what's amazing is that God didn't make us puppets. He didn't force us to obey His every whim. We're not His slaves. He gave us free will. We can choose to build our lives on God or not to. And there's a lot of other things that people choose to build their life on. Here's some more bricks that people use for foundation sometimes. Money, fame, popularity, education, career. These are good things, but they're not meant to be foundations. They're not meant to build our life upon. They're not meant to wrap our identity in. I mean, if I'm an athlete, even a professional athlete, and that's my whole identity. Well, that's great while I'm playing and doing well. But what about when I get injured and can't play anymore? What about when I'm too old to compete with the best? Who am I then? And there's plenty of people whose identity is in their money and their bank account and their stock portfolio. But what about when the stock market crashes? Or they make one bad deal or one bad decision and everything's gone. Now what? I'm a father and a husband, a brother and a son, a teacher. And those are all important parts of my life, but that's not my main foundation. Because sometimes those things change. One day I won't be a teacher anymore. I'll retire and that's not me anymore. And if that's my whole foundation of what I build my life on, it's not going to hold me up. It's not going to last. Those things are temporary. They're of this earth. They're good things, but that's part of my life, not the foundation of my life. Because someday they're not going to be around anymore. And when life gets hard and rough and storms come, they don't hold me up. So instead, we build our foundation on God. Who am I? I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. That's my foundation. That'll never change. Storms come, life goes on, things happen, Still a child of God. You're still a child of God. A created in his image, much loved child of God. That's your foundation. That's my foundation. And we can trust in that. It's solid. It won't falter or fade. It won't crumble. It won't let us down. I'm going to go back to the Bible here with 2 Timothy chapter 4. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul talks about his journey over time. Not a sprint, a marathon. Not one day back to school, but the whole school year. We continue to build our lives on this foundation of God. And we do it slowly over time. Time getting to know God, getting to know his plan for us. Time studying his word and coming to church, praying. Time living for him according to his will and what he reveals to us. Time using the talents and gifts he gave us. And again, we're building on that strong foundation. So this is strong. Durable. It's tough. It holds you up. It's being built the right way, the way God intended, the way God, who created us and knows us, intended us to build our lives on him, on that firm foundation as a child of God. So, great. I have this foundation. It's strong. We're building our life with good intentions. We're seeking God. We're serving God. We live in a messy world. We live in a fallen, sinful world. And oftentimes, we lose our focus. We mess up. We let sin and mistakes come into our lives. We wander from God's plan. We see things in this world that are shiny and cool and what our neighbors have, and we sometimes fall for that stuff and start to build our lives on that instead of on God's word. And the sin continues to stack up in my life. And this stuff is here that wasn't really part of my original plan of how I meant to build my life on God. We get busy. My family is super busy. We run around from thing to thing sometimes, and sometimes we're so busy that we kind of just neglect God's word and shove that to the side, and we focus on good things, on school and work, on family and friends, on all these extracurricular activities, sports and music and art, and good things God created. But then our focus becomes that stuff, and we're not focused on God anymore. In this broken, sinful world, stuff happens to good people. Financial difficulties, bankruptcies. Broken relationships. Estrangements from friends and family, separation, divorce, In this broken, sinful world, we have to deal with health problems. I'm getting older, and I'm not as strong as I used to be, and I move a little slower than I did a couple years ago. And sometimes illness and disease creeps in, cancer. Sometimes we lose the people we love. And there's not just physical disease and sickness, but sometimes mental too. This world is busy, difficult, crazy place, and sometimes we struggle with depression and disappointment, and sometimes we have a hard time making sense of the world around us and why did this happen or why didn't this happen. And before you know it, your life looks different than how it looked before, and it's not what you planned and not what you wanted. And there's this mess here, these problems here, these hardships, these difficulties, these things that I really just don't want. So what I want to do is get rid of this stuff. I want to just destroy it. I want to get rid of it. And I wish I could. But my power is insufficient for this. Now, I love motivational slogans and speeches. I love hard work and excellence and just bringing your best and improving yourself. I love underdog stories. I love Rocky Balboa. I'm a dad and a teacher. I'm kind of required to love that stuff. And, you know, it's amazing. And I do believe that we are supposed to work hard and bring our best in life. I believe we're supposed to take bad habits and problems and try to fix them and work and do our best to make our life what God wants it to be. And I can chip away at some of this stuff, and there's some problems I can deal with on my own or with the help of family and friends. But frankly, there's some stuff here that I just can't. Sometimes life is overwhelming. Sometimes there's problems I can't handle despite my best efforts, no matter how deep I dig. Sometimes there's things going on that are soul-crushing, they're back-breaking. I can't carry this burden by myself. I mean, my foundation's doing a good job holding it up because I built on the right foundation. Man, imagine if this load was sitting on top of this foundation. Wow, there'd be nothing left of it whatsoever. So it's there, but I don't want it there. And when we focus on this mess, on this junk in here, we get overwhelmed. Sometimes it leads to depression. Sometimes it leads to loss of faith. God, what? Why? And people walk away from God. In some cases, it leads to drug and alcohol abuse because people just want to drown out what they can't deal with. Sometimes it leads to suicide. We've all heard stories in the last few years of actors, musicians, comedians, people who from the outside seem to have it all together. It's piles of talent, skill, fame and fortune, more money than I'll ever see. Looked like things were going great for them. And yet, they were so hopeless. They were so overwhelmed. They felt like they had no other option but to end their lives. They focused on this mess. And focusing on that mess is overwhelming. It can crush your spirit. What we need to do is change our focus. Because what's hopeless to us, what's overwhelming to us, is not hopeless to the mighty God that created us and lives in us. What's insurmountable to us isn't insurmountable to the God we built our foundation upon. So we take our focus off this mess. And we switch our focus to where it's supposed to be. We take our focus off that mess and we cry out to God. The God who knows us, the God who created us, the God who loves us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. There it is. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's where our focus belongs. The God who made us, who knows us, is incredibly powerful. He's all-knowing. He's loving. He's merciful. You don't got to hold this stuff in your life. You can give those burdens to him. Where I can't break them, he can. Call out to God. Focus on Jesus. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to come into your heart, to invade your mind. Clothe yourself in him. Let his power flow through you. Because what we can't deal with, he can. What we can't handle, he can. And this burden, this sin, this trouble, this pain that I can't handle, he can. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God, a loving God, a merciful God. God wants you to call out to him. He wants to take these burdens, and where I can't deal with them, he sure can. Now, looks good, except I still got a bit of a mess on my hands. When you have the aftermath of God working a breakthrough in your life, you still got a mess left behind that needs to be cleaned up. And this is only going to take us about 2 minutes, but in real life, it could be days, weeks, months, or years for you to clean up and deal with the aftermath of sin. For you to come to terms with death in your family or a divorce, for you to deal with these things. But the good news is you're not here alone. You have friends and family here with you. You have people who can help you to rebuild that foundation. People who can help you clean up that mess. And man, don't try to do that alone. Because chances are, whatever mistakes I built before, I'll build again. I'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I'm a bit of an idiot that way. I really am. But invite God into that mess. Invite God to help you rebuild and carry. Invite your family and friends into that mess to help you and to hold you accountable. Maybe you need to invite in a Christian counselor or therapist. Our world kind of thinks that asking for help is a weakness. It's not. It's strength. It's saying, I don't have this all together, and I can't handle this on my own. So please come in with me. Come alongside me. Help me to do what I can't do on my own. Because again, this foundation, it's not built on me. If it is, it's a bit of junk, to be honest. My foundation is built on God. And despite all I've been through, it's still solid. It's still strong. It always will be because it's built on the Creator who made me, who knows me, and who loves me. So today, maybe you've been building this foundation in your life for a long, long time already. Or maybe you've never considered building your foundation on God and you've already built your foundation on other things. Beginning of school season, it's a time of hope. It's brand new, new slate, new chance. Last year's over. It's in the books. We're starting fresh. For some kids, it means, oh man, a whole year till summertime. But it's the symbol of hope. It's like New Year's Day. It's a fresh, clean start. The good news is, if you've been building this, it's never too late to start building this. Today could be that New Year's Day for you. Any day is a day to start fresh, to take what's in our life and give it up to God, to invite His power into our lives, to pray to Him, to build our foundation on Him, the one who knows us, the one who created us, the one who loves us. The good news is, God didn't make it hard to find Him. James 4:8. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. That's a promise from God. Seek Him. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, received. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. God wants you to seek Him. He wants you to be in a relationship with Him today. A foundational relationship. If you've taken 10,000 steps away from God in your life, you can take one big step back. Open arms. He'll welcome you. Build your life on the foundation of God. Develop a relationship with Him. Seek Him. Pray. Come to Him with your problems and hardships. Don't try to carry those alone. Invite Him into your life. He is a strong foundation worth building on. And He has power to deal with whatever you need to deal with. Just a minute, Pastor John's going to come up and close. After that's over, if you would like prayer today for anything in your life that's overwhelming, that's soul-crushing, or maybe your pile's not quite that high, but still something you'd like prayer for, please come on up. We'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray with you. Can you bow your heads right now, please? Jesus, thank You that You died for our sins. Thank You that we can build our foundation on You. Thank You that You are a solid rock that will not crumble or disappoint. Thank You that You are willing to come into our lives when we seek You. Thank You for Your mercy and grace, Your love and Your power. Thank You that You are there to carry our burdens and to break through those things that we can't break through on our own. Help us to seek You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.